What's good, Wager World? It's your boy, Five Star in Vegas. I'm casting live, as always, from beautiful summer in Nevada. A little smoky out there today as we're getting the wildfires in from California. So everybody in L.A., you be safe out there, and all our people back in Houston, where my heart is always at. You guys be safe, too, as the storm's in there and in South Louisiana. We're praying for all of you guys out there. I'm here, as always, with the OG of the show. Been here since day one with me, the only Sacramento Kings fan that I know. What's good, Spreaders? How are you today?
Man, we had a great start. College football week two just went like week one, and my week one was great. So I can't wait to dive in, take a couple victory laps, and get ready for week two.
Oh, and of course, in here with my YG, my little brother, man. He's the youngest man I ever known to run a casino sports book on the Las Vegas Strip. What's up, Cino?
Wow, what's up, Five Star? What's up, Spread? What's up, Wage and Rudd? Just trying to get it back together, get back on track, you know, with some winners, man. Football was kind of rough this weekend on some of the games, but, you know, for the most part, we came out positive.
We did pretty well. A couple of topics before we get into the past. We got a pretty lengthy show on reviewing stuff. What you guys think about the Tyreek Hill arrest?
Spread, I'll let you go first, my brother.
I don't know how much to think about it, but how are you going to throw someone on the ground for 15 miles over speeding? And so I like that, you know, I don't want to live in Mexico where there's no police, but I don't think there's any way you can justify that. So really unfortunate what happened. And even people who are pro police have to admit that that's way over the top. 15 miles an hour. I can understand if you go on 115 and a 40 like Ruggs did, right, and killed someone. 15 miles an hour, I'm going to do that later today. I mean, everybody right. does that. If right. someone's not doing that, you're going to get mad at them. It was unbelievable. I think they targeted him because of the car and everything, and it's just terrible.
That was definitely clear because you heard in the background when they were doing the video, one of the other cops that pulled up told the cop, like, you know that is, right? He's like, who? And he was like, that's Tyreek Hill. He's one of the players from Miami. And he said, F.
Yeah.
Because he know, but go ahead, Cino, then I'll share quickly with you guys what I think about it.
Yeah, now where I'm from, they have a little town called Maurice, Louisiana. The speed limit is 30 miles per hour. You go 3 miles over the speed limit, 33, you're getting pulled over. No ifs, ands, buts about it. I seen that little situation, too. It was a little road. Looked like they had construction and stuff going on right there. And even if he was going over, you know, 50 miles, they pulled him over. Cop, like, pull over, you're speeding. He told him what he was doing. You're speeding. So, you know, Tyreek pulls over his car. He gives him his ID, raises up the window. He complied. He did everything he had to do. You know, he followed the rules. Go write me my ticket. Why are you knocking on my window? I raised my window up. You told me I was speeding. I know why I got pulled over, too. I pulled over. I gave you the start, the form you asked for. You got everything you need. Write me my ticket so I can get going. Why are you beating on my window?
Have to leave the window down as a driver, and especially in the, like how Tyreek was, because Tyreek didn't want people taking pictures of him pulled over. He was hoping it didn't become a story.
Yes, you hit it on the money. And again, I followed the rules. I did what you asked. Why do I have to raise my window down? I'm not doing nothing. You know, I'm in a nice car. I'm rich. You think I'm going to shoot you? Like, nah, I should be more worried about you. And then look what happened. Like, it got escalated, and I feel they should have never went there. And if Tyreek Hill wasn't Tyreek Hill, it would have been worse than what it was.
It's been way worse.
Exactly. And that's what's scary about it.
Yep. Yes. And
I've been beaten up by the cops. As you guys know, I lost my little brother, unfortunately, to the police in 2010. You knew Mitch. You know very well about the story. It's a little bit different for me when I'm dealing with these type of topics and situations. As you guys know, I'm a very conservative guy. I'm about family. You know, about doing right, about following the law and all that type of stuff. But I've been really affected by this, you know, the arrogance of the police before and being overbearing, because my little brother, you can pull up the case, no Houston, he was just pulled over by Metro Police who had no business being in the area. My little brother was in the car. He tried to back out of the ditch that he had ran into. The guy tells him to stop moving. My little brother's like, man, I'm trying to get my car out the ditch because he's in a very expensive Camaro that he's redone and spent about $100,000 in. And the guy's just trigger happy, fires off all these shots into my little brother's body, and it was justified. Never got in trouble, nothing. Just because my little brother was trying to back his car out the ditch so he could speak to the officer because he ran into the ditch inside the apartment complex, you know. And don't get me wrong, the guy that was with him, the kid that was with him, really made the situation worse because I guess he had warrants or something. He ran. But the whole time, my little brother's window was down. He was telling him, hey, man, I'm just trying to back out. I got you. Like, anyone who knows my little brother, his main thing was like, man, don't mess with the cops. Like, he did not want any trouble with the cops. So I've dealt with that, so I know what overbearing policing does, and it comes down to this with me. All of these cops need to get psychological evaluations before getting their job. And the reason why is because there's certain type of personalities that aren't fit for to be policemen, man. And with the way that the policing has gone now and the attitude toward it, a lot of it has to do with, you know, it's the citizens too, with disrespecting the cops. But a lot of us disrespect the cops because the cops never respected us when they should be working for us. Our tax dollars, you know, pay for the police department. But a lot of, especially, you know, minorities and people even like you, Spread, that they came up in areas that were still like kind of high crime areas, understand we've never been really had a good relationship with the cops, you know. And it's mostly because they have a job to do and they feel like a lot of people from those areas are criminals. They take that mentality and apply it to every black person, and that's the problem, you know. And that's why he looked at Tyreek Hill the way he did immediately. He probably thought he was a drug dealer immediately. Just because of the car he was in, just because
his chains on.
Your skin is just seeing sometimes with these people. Like, he's really dark, you know, like, let's be real about it, you know. So now this cop is feeling some type of way. And instead of you, you know, just doing your job, writing a ticket, you want to prove something. You want to blow your chest up and put this boy back in place, you see? And that mentality is the issue with me. I said something very briefly about it when I first saw it, because, like I said, it hits home with me because of what happened with my brother. So I made a little comment on one of the NFL pages about, you know, they had no need to have him on the ground like that, laying on his face just because of a ticket that's, you know, out of line. Of course, here come the people who pretend they're back to blue, but a lot of them are just racist, because real black back to blue people are going to tell you that's improper police, and police are supposed to have more emotional control in those type of situations. You weren't a threat. This guy isn't a threat to you. It's a ticket, right? Someone got so mad at me for saying this, and people liking these comments, that they went and reported and lied like it was spam and that I was a fake page and everything. I got suspended on Sunday for 12 hours for nothing, just because I said that Tyreek Hill shouldn't have been thrown on the ground like that. But it's because the temperature of our country, man. Social media has made everybody go crazy. Like, a lot of people have platforms and access who don't have the competency to actually have one, and they do a bunch of silly stuff like Spread and I was speaking about before the show started, just sitting in the basement all day tweeting and looking to cause havoc, controlling people with all these fake names and fake accounts. You don't know who's a bot. You don't know what's going on there. But anyway, they got me suspended for speaking about that situation. But the internet continues to disappoint me, and I don't expect it to ever make me happy. We try to do our best to come on here and bring some positive light. We take our own time out of the day. So hit that like button right now for us, man. You know, to do this show, we all got our own separate lives. We all got other things we're doing. We don't get paid from YouTube. We don't get tipped by you guys. We just come to show love, man. When I say it's us versus the machine, I mean that from the heart, man. And I do this for you guys. I do this for the wager world. So you guys just continue to tap in, hit that like button, share the show off today.
Oh, man, I seen
that. Red, have you seen that?
Oh, no. Man, I thought,
because you talked about social media, I try to spend as little time as possible on there. I check in the morning just to get the news. Like, I want to see if A-Chain was playing, you know.
Yeah.
I'm just getting my reports, and then I try and get off.
I follow Shannon Sharp in his show, so it instantly, you know, any news come up. What do you think about this? You know, tell Spread a little bit about it.
Tell me what happened. I have no idea.
Unk Wilding, that's all I'm going to say. And look, this all I seen. I just seen a clip, right? Because whatever took place was on Instagram Live. So I just seen the clip. I'm a Twitter guy. I'm always on X. That's, you know, that's the platform I'm on. That's how I'm moving and stuff like that. And I'm back active now after the little situation I had with Kingston a couple months. But I get on there. I see a 19-second clip. And they, like, shine a sharp on IG Wilding. So, of course, I go click it. And it's just a woman making moans. I'm like, hold on, what Unk doing? I'm like, is clapping cheeks taking place or something?
Yeah.
The comments are going nuts, and some people are saying he paid the woman to do that. It was all an act, and I haven't looked into it. I'm talking about, I just seen this before we got onto the show, but just to see something like that is nuts. Did he not see what happened to Paul Pierce?
So Spread, it's like a pretty much an audio sex tape. He's going live and having sex with a woman. And I'm like, dude, you got so much good stuff going on. Not only do you have...
Did you do it accidentally?
Even if you did, we know how live works. Yeah. Have you ever went live accidentally, Spread? You have to hold
no,
live.
But... No, I mean, no.
So I...
I don't go live very often.
I feel like another situation where the internet has people going crazy. Shannon must be trying to catch some females or something and become the hot thing in Hollywood with the girls by letting them know how he beats it up or whatever. But, dude, you're 60 years old, man. Come on, brother. Come on, have some self-respect about yourself, man.
I don't got to do better, man.
I don't want to hear about you talking about somebody hacked to, you know, stuff. Stand on your stuff, man. If you want to do it, that's just like Six Red, Glorilla. They showing their breasts, don't thing, you know, like they flash people. Drake and Big Sean, they got meat mail and got leaked. Yeah, they got leaked, right. You guys, come on, man. Stop letting the internet drive you crazy, man. It's still the regular world, man. Stop getting caught up in the social media stuff, man. Get grounded, man. Find some way to stay grounded, man. I want to say rest in peace to Frankie Beverly, man, one of the greatest musicians, artists, talents of all time. I know Spread knows a lot about Frankie Beverly. He's from your area of the world, man. So, you know, what's your favorite Frankie Beverly?
Send me a couple after the show in the group text.
Before I let go, I'm a bad guy.
He's from the Bay Area. He's from the Bay.
Send me a couple. I'm sure I know it if I hear it. I just don't know the name.
Oh, yeah, the way you love R&B, you definitely know it. What you think, you know?
I'm a band guy. You know, I went to Southern University. Shout out to Great Southern University. One song that they always play, Frankie Beverly, Before I Let Go. That's one
Before
of my favorite.
Before I Let Go.
Yeah, it's one of the best records by the great. Yeah. And that's rest in peace to Frankie. So, while we still talking music you know, sports and everything, and we still kind of early into the show, I need your opinion on something, man.
What's that, bro?
You real, real OG. You've been around for a lot. You in the music, you know, in the entertainment industry, stuff like that. What you feel about the Kendrick Lamar situation? Him performing in the Super Bowl, headlining in our state of Louisiana, and you know, the big city of New Orleans. How you feel about that?
It's a big mess, and the reason why it's a big mess is because it's the hidden hand. Now, some people are saying Jay-Z is the one that made the call, but we remember now Jay-Z also gave Wayne some money to get out of tax trouble, but maybe he gave him that money just because he wanted him to sign at the time with The Rock, and Wayne never signed with him, you know? So it's always been a little contempt going on between, you know, Cash Money and Rockefeller. You know, we know the real story. That go all the way back to Emile, the rapper who was with Jay-Z when she started messing with my guy, Baby, you know? And, you know, Jay didn't like that, that she started messing with Baby because she was one of his females, you know?
Listen,
and they've kind of added since then, and that was 25 years ago, you know? So this has kind of been building up, and Jay-Z's in a position now with the NFL where he can call out shots. He's saying that, well, his camp is saying he had nothing to do with it, but what's strange to me is you got so many people from his camp that's saying so much, like Meek Mill, like Memphis Bleek. Now all of a sudden he's chiming in. Jay Electronica chimed in, had so much to say. So I don't know. I'm kind of one of those people that kind of takes everything in and gives everybody a fair chance to just judge by what people's mouths say. And from what I'm thinking and knowing the kind of moves that Jay-Z used to make, it's a chess move, bro. Like, you know, like we know that Kendrick Lamar has his biggest song about Drake. Now, what people do have wrong was trying to say that Kendrick isn't a big artist, because he was a big artist before Drake. He's the most Grammy nominated, I think, and most Grammy winner out of all of the rappers ever, I want to say. Right up there with Drake. He has a Pulitzer Prize. He's the only rapper that ever won a Pulitzer Prize, for sure. You know? So, Kendrick has done numbers before this situation came on. It just happened him and Drake got into it. And as I said, I met Drake. He went to my birthday party. Nice guy. I have nothing against him. I'm neutral on our situation. I'm only dealing with the music. On the music side of it, Kendrick won the battle. I feel like by Jay-Z putting Kendrick on the stage where he can, to the biggest audience in the world, sing that Drake is a pedophile, he knows what he's doing. You know, it's kind of like a slick diss, a nice chess move, because what he does still affects Wayne, still affects Baby. You know, because they're all a part of that YMCB family. I'm sure they're all still getting paid off of things that Drake does. So it's a cold chess move by Jay-Z. Unfortunately for Kendrick, he's in the middle of it, because all he was doing was dealing with beef that he had with a guy who came at him and who has been beefing with him a long time. And he just finally answered it, you know. And now he's caught up in his family now being involved in it. And now it seems like, you know, like he's a pawn or a chess piece, and he's really just trying to do his music. But what's his biggest song? So he still has to do what the puppet master needs him to do, because he's going to do that song, you know? So
most definitely. He's going to close with that song.
Yeah. It's a lot to it. What's your opinion on it as a native Louisiana?
Man, I try to keep it short so we can get into the show. even before Lil Wayne, the Hot Boys, we can talk about Cash Money. Like you said, this goes way back. Jay-Z playing chess. He was definitely playing chess, and everybody trying to say Jay-Z does not make the moves. Well, this one guy came out, Jay, I don't remember his last name. It started with a C. But he's part of the NFL committee, and he's part of the Super Bowl panel. And he was saying that for the entertainment, nobody else makes the decision but the NFL and Jay-Z. Simple as that. When it comes to the halftime show, those two make the decision. So nobody in New Orleans, none of the community, all that stuff is BS. So we know who made that decision. And like I said, let's go back way in the 90s when the Hot Boys and, you know, Big Timers first came out. These guys shift the culture, like literally shift the culture. Bling bling was the first hip-hop terminology, like, to hit the dictionary. Like, that's a real word. Like, people had that on their shirts back in the 90s. Yeah. They were wearing gold chains and stuff like that up in New York. These guys start wearing diamonds. Like, why you think Baby start calling himself the number one stunner? Like, they really changed the music industry until what it is today. And then Lil Wayne came about. He started the dreads, the tattoos in his face and stuff. And now he have so many, you know, other rappers running around looking
he
like
he changed the way kids look. Because what the music industry did is they used Wayne as the first rock and roll rapper. They turned them. They ran the same thing that they ran on all of the rock and roll groups with their lead singers, with the kind of punk rock look, the long hair, the tats in the face, the, you know, the gothic look, and they ran it with Wayne, and he kind of changed how kids look nowadays with that.
Mm-hmm. And well, I just feel like where we at with it today, Wayne has did all that, man. He's stamped now, you know. Wayne's in his 40s, he'll be 50 soon. The Super Bowls in New Orleans, of course, has been that, you know, multiple times now. But Wayne, he was still, you know, he was still in his prime. He was still doing his thing, everything he needed to do. He gave us No Ceilings, he gave us the Carter 3, he gave us a lot of great mixtapes and albums. And now I just feel it's the time. The Super Bowl is going to be in Cali again, in L.A., 2 years from now, 2027. They right there in SoFi Stadium again. Why Kendrick couldn't wait? Like I say, it's just all the power move, man. They know that song real, real big. Hov definitely has something. It's behind the scenes, like Five. You know how it is with the women. We know.
Yeah.
It's definitely something behind the scenes that's going on, and that was a power move, and we all know Wayne should be performing. And if anybody, you know, that know Wayne, or Wayne, if you ever watched The Wager or something like this, hey, do not come out as an appearance, man. You're supposed to be headlining. Don't disrespect yourself like that. Like, you are that guy. Like, don't come out as a surprise guesser. Nah, I'm him.
Well, that's not happening no way, and the reason why is because now it came out later on during the Kendrick and Drake beef, and kind of said that, of course, I'm on Drake's side, because Kendrick, with what he was saying, by putting out some stuff that Drake did behind Wayne's back that I'm privy to, you know, while he was in jail, he kind of exposed that. But Wayne was like, he wasn't tripping to steal Drake, because Drake is one of his artists still, you know, he still makes money off of Drake. So it's business. So he cannot come out there with Kendrick anyway. I don't think we'll see that regardless of what, but man, it's plot twist. The mayor of New Orleans is from Compton, California. So, hey, man, let's jump into the past.
It's crazy.
All right, let's break down a fairly good weekend for us. Five Star, I know you want to talk about this real quick, because when we talk about these games, we want to let you know, don't be counting our record when we just be talking about games.
If I say,
hey, I think I like Miami this week. I didn't bet Miami. I'm just telling you that's what I think I like, right? So I just want to clarify that, and I know you did too, but we want to get into these games right now. I want to talk to you about the BYU game. BYU was catching 10.5 in SMU. What did you see in that one?
You remember I leaned BYU only because I told you I really like BYU's coach. And as you saw, they came to play, walked in there, shut SMU down, were able to cover and got the outright. So SMU is underperforming, and it's coming down to the quarterback position. Lashley's going to have to go with Kevin Harris, man. He's going to have to accept. I know he probably likes Preston Stone and looks at him as, you know, his little brother or son or something, kind of sees himself in him and all that stuff. But Kevin Harris is the quarterback. Let him get some reps. He's going to be the future of the program anyway. You know, kid can really ball, man. He played at Carter High School, famous school in Oak Cliff in Dallas, and he was a starter, man. And I think it's time to give him the reins, because their offense is struggling. Looks like a shell of themselves. BYU is going to be what they always are, a really solid team this year.
Tino, did you catch that game, and what were your thoughts?
Nope, I did not watch it. All I did was listen to Five Star, and he was right.
Sounds good. We'll keep it quick, because we got a lot to break down. Duke, 2.5 at Northwestern. Your thoughts, Five Star?
No, oh, that was one of my biggest plays, man. What a sweater. But I told everyone on my show, on this one, The Way of the World, also on Jay Money's show, I told them as well, watch the over under. That's where they're going to try to bag everybody at. I told Ski. Ski, I think, took the under on that game. They went to overtime and flew over. You know, the whole game, these guys scored 10 points apiece. But with the side we took, which was Duke, which was an official play that I gave out on ESPN 97.5, I gave out on Jay Money's show, I gave out on Ski's show, I gave out here, it's strictly what we said. I like Manny Diaz, and he's a much more aggressive coach. He's going to have – Duke is going to get better and better as the season goes. Malik Murphy is going to get more and more comfortable. Malik Murphy is going to move into draft talk. Now, he has some years left. I don't think he's probably going to come out to next year. But the size that that kid has and the type of arm that he has, he can play, man. And he has a couple receivers over there at Duke who are pretty good. I think that he's going to put up some really good numbers this season. I think he's on the way to becoming a top draft pick. So everything's looking up for Duke. As far as Northwestern, they are who they always are. They're going to play low-scoring games no matter who's the coach, who's the regime. I know they got my guy Fitzgerald out of there because they said he was allowing hazing or something. He's just an old-school coach, man. I think Fitzgerald was all right, dude. But they continued his culture still, and that's still just playing defense, playing, you know, running the ball control and things like that. And they're going to be, you know, near the bottom middle of the pack in the Big Ten like always.
Zeno, did you catch that one?
Like on the last show, we talked about it. After I looked at the numbers and stuff, I seen who was quarterback, and I was with five star on that one. So me and the clients had that game. That was an easy one for us.
All right, let's move to the NFL. And I told you I didn't want to get involved in this game. Boy, one thing I didn't factor in was how bad that field was. And all I have to say is I understand that they're trying to expand to the international market. But you don't do it at the expense of your players. That was not an NFL caliber field. And Packers fans are lucky that it's only 3 to 4 weeks, but it shouldn't even be that. And with the way the NFC is rocking right now, I mean, I love the way Detroit looked. That's too much. What are you going to do? You really think that Brazil is going to love the NFL more than they love soccer or football or whatever you want to call it? It's unconscionable. I was really disappointed in the NFL for them to put money over safety. And it's once again just shows the player safety is just a buzzword. If player safety was real, they wouldn't be playing on that field. And then we give the teams to play on Thursday Night Football a bye. And so they can say player safety all they want, but that's just, it's just lip service there. So that's just my little rant about what happened. I'm not even a Packers fan, and I'll be honest, I'm underweight in Jordan Love and best ball. So technically help me. But I was just mad to see that because as a football fan, that's a guy that we were looking forward to watching all year. And now he's going to come back. And who even knows if he's going to be 100%. And he's losing all this great time and development. It's only his second year as a starter. So that's my little rant. But five-star, talk to me about what you saw as far as the football field. My other takeaway, that Philly defense was not as good as I expected. And we'll see if it's just that Green Bay is really good. But they're going to need that to shore that defense up if they're going to want to compete with Detroit and San Francisco.
I was really upset that Jordan Love got hurt. I'm upset, first of all, as you said, with the type of turf that they were playing on, how that field was just a mess. But also, I'm also upset with big Jalen Carter because that extra role that he put into Jordan Love was unnecessary. He didn't have to do that, man. You know, he already had him down. He rolled over 400 pounds on his ankle on the last play of the game. You guys already have won the game. They're not about to score. Like, what are you doing, man? You know, like, everybody's trying to get paid. That was a dirty play. He's saying it was a football play. I've been playing football my whole life. I'm not a dummy. I believe what I see with my eyes, and what I saw with my eyes is he put an extra roll in to try to, you know, make him feel it. I don't know if he was necessarily trying to injure him, but he was definitely trying to let him know that I'm putting this weight on your legs and I'm going to make you feel this tackle. It was unnecessary, man. He got hurt from that. I hate that. I hated to see that. Right on point on my opinions on the game. And, you know, I told you guys I like the Packers first half because I'm a big LaFleur guy, and he was going to have the offense ready, and they were going to, you know, jump on Philly later. And I told you that Philly would play harder at the end, and they would wear them down with the offensive line and with Saquon Barkley and win the game in the end, and that's pretty much what happened. So pretty happy with how I broke down the game and with the results, except for what happened to Jordan Love. You guys know I got a Packers ticket for them to win the NFC at +700. It's greatly affected now because now they might not even make the playoffs with Malik Willis as the quarterback.
They got to do something. They got someone got to call them out. You either care about player safety or you don't, and it doesn't seem like they do. Cino, what do you think?
Yeah, again, 6 seconds left on the clock, man. That kid gets hurt, like, and limping off the field. Yeah, still early in his career. I really don't like that. At spread, I was just like you, my brother. We were talking about the under in that game, and I did not factor that goddamn field. They start putting the ball in the air a lot. These guys really didn't want to play defense. It looked like they didn't even want to risk getting hurt. Saquon, first handoff of the game, he gets the ball, he slips. I'm like, man, this is about to be a long, crazy game. But the Eagles, second half, they look real good. I think they get it together. I'm glad to see Saquon on the team that's going to perform well. He had like 3 touchdowns. Jalen Hurts, he did all right. Started off real, real shaky. I didn't like what I seen, but let's go Eagles. I think they'll be all right.
See, though, you know what you just said about the under, right? Show you how this guy works. It's a guy's name was like user, like he got like 10 digits after, like user 13, 14, 15, 18, something crazy. So you already know it's a bot or just a loser in the basement. So he goes up to Ski's video and it says, yeah, 5-star's been giving out a lot of losers. He even said Cino and him, he was backing him on the under. He counted that as a loss too. Now, did I ever say that I was taking the under?
If I was to play it, this is what I play, but I'm not getting involved in this international game because there's too many factors.
We can't have people,
they only bet 10 or 20 bucks a game. They want a little action. They watch the show. 10 bucks ain't something, nothing, you know. I know a lot of guys make 100K a year, bet 10, 20 bucks a game. They do it for fun. They don't really care if they lose the money. They want a little pick for Friday night. Have a beer. Smoke a little. Put one in the air, right?
Right.
Put 20 bucks on the game. Make it a little more fun. We tell them where we would be at, but no, we going in big on Saturday. One of the games that we did go big on that did not turn out our way, and I missed it because I was in the car driving up there during this
game. Lucky you.
Well, I bet it, though. I just didn't get to watch it. What happened on the Michigan game? Because it didn't look close.
It wasn't.
I know what happened.
Go ahead, Zeno.
I keep it short. Trent. One word. Trent.
Trent is the jankiest.
Shout out to Trent, man.
He took the Marlins today.
Oh, that fucking with Trent guy. I was trying to think of what player is named Trent. I don't know who's Trent.
Everybody know Trent.
Nah, before the game started, I texted and sent it to him. I said,
he said, we done. He said, Trent.
Trent took it. We're dead.
He got ready before the game even started.
He had on his little Michigan hoodie. I said, man, we finished.
We fried, man.
I would have took Texas first half.
Yep, I ain't watch it just because I already knew it was going to happen.
They bulldogs them. For some reason, I don't know if these guys like the CIA or betting or something. Like, they using him as a tool to mislead and misguide bettors. But do not take his picks. That's all I would tell you. And if he picks a game, I wouldn't even go opposite. Just stay away from it. Unfortunately, all of the major primetime games with his food. I don't follow him, but it comes through my, timeline because, we all talk about sports betting. I got to probably mute him. I hate to do it, man, because, I don't have nothing personally against him. But, dog, he make me feel, like, really, weird about any game that I give out that he's involved in because he's just really jinky, man. He's a real mush if I ever seen one in my life. But that game never had a chance. Me and Tino bet that one on a number. It was a number bet. I never thought that Texas and Michigan could line up with each other and it was even. That was strictly bet on what we know that these type of games usually do when they're flipped like that, when you got 90% of the money on one side, 10%. But this week, the books let them play football. You had Dallas was able to beat Cleveland, which spread got completely right on the same type of flow, 88% to 12% on the tickets. Same with Michigan and Texas. But that's when you know you're dealing with a really good team because when you can beat the opponent, the spread, and the books, you're the real deal. The Texas is the real deal. They are back. Steve Sarkisian has built a monster over there real quick. They're one of the top three programs, again, in the whole world. It's probably them, Georgia, and I want to say probably still Alabama because they're looking really good. And I cut for their new coach. He's a really good coach. He's been good everywhere he's gone. That's why he was able to push Washington into the national championship out of obscurity. So, yeah, man. Great job by everyone who took Texas. What a bit football, guys, because Texas was clearly the best team.
Yeah, there was a lot like that, too. The other one was the Lions, and that was a play of mine. Yeah. Being a public play, I gave it out of 3.5 here. It was 5 by the time they kicked off, right? and we go to cash the ticket at the end of the game. It felt like Disneyland, man. That line was long. The girl's joking. They give me the money. She goes, man, I've never seen this. My drawer's almost out of money. They cleaned up. The whole book was on the Lions. And they
in overtime, they were able to get it, too.
I was like, I told my buddy, I said, we need to win this kick. One that we didn't have to worry about, though, we didn't need no coin flip for this one, was Boise State, as they were able to cover against Oregon. I was actually more watching the Mississippi State game, and I jumped in on Washington State, too. Boise State was an easy winner, so I wasn't keeping a lot of track of it. What were your thoughts on that one, Five Star?
That was my biggest play of the weekend. You guys know I love this game all week. I talked about it all week. Boise loses for the first time to Oregon, and that was important. As I told you, they were coming there very confident, and they had the confidence. And also, as I told you, Spencer Danielson, who's the coach of Boise State, is a defensive coach, and Boise State played really good defense that game to keep the Oregon team under 40 points like they did, keep the game close. And how about Ashton Jeanty? Like, is anyone going to just admit that this guy is the best running back in the country, even though he's a little Boise State playing on the Smurf turf? This kid's going to be a beast in the NFL as well. He has a great combination of being strong, speed, burst, vision. He's just the real deal. Boise State, impressive. Thank you so much for helping me cash. First half plus 500. What are the best bets of the day for me and the clients, man? When I sent a lot of guys, were like, plus 500, you taking the money line? You're not going to take the 11.5? I was like, take that too, but I'm taking the plus 500. I just wish I would have bet more, man. Just a great job by Boise State. Oregon moving forward. I can't wait to fade them some more. The books really like Dylan Gabriel and, you know, trust the Oregon program, and I don't. I think that they're going to win a lot of games, but they're not going to cover many.
Yeah, and that could be the case. Another one I didn't really see. I think I was in the car for this one, too. I don't know what time this one kicked. Arkansas was plus 10 at Oklahoma State.
Oh, that was a big bet of mine, too, plus 10. Noops came to town. Shout out Noops. He brought in the group, and me, him, and Steve were over at Westgate watching that game. I took money line on Arkansas as well at plus 600. I should have just took the first half. So at the end, they're up 8 points with 3 minutes left third quarter, 2 minutes left third quarter. Oklahoma State punts. They're frustrated that quarterback Bowman isn't hitting any passes. Silly, silly kid. Same way that we lost New Mexico game money line. Silly, silly punt returner. Must the doggone punt. Oklahoma State scores, hit a 2-point conversion, get all the energy back, win the game in OT. We cover the 10, but we don't get the plus 600. Can't be mad about that. Of course, I was a lot heavier on the plus 10, but what I saw from that game is Arkansas is a really good offense. You know, Taylen Green can really play their quarterback. They got some weapons on the outside. They got a good running game. They're going to put some points up. I'll be looking to play some overs on their games as they go into the SEC.
Let's move to the NFL. One thing I did get right with was Dallas. And I was with the public on that one, and we were able to cash. You know, we can go ahead and give Dallas all the praise they want. But, of course, what everybody's talking about today and all week is Deshaun Watson and how long he's going to keep that job. Watching that game, I'm thinking – if I'm in the locker room, I'm thinking I want Jameis out there. First of all, Jameis is way popular with his teammates. He's one of the most popular guys. Even when he was playing terrible, every team he's been on, he got a lot of support. He got support in Tampa from his teammates. And I know his teammates really wanted him out there more in New Orleans, one of the reasons he moved on. How do you think that plays out, Five Star? Because when you're in the locker room and you're watching the highest paid guy not perform, and you got another guy behind that you're boys with and you really want to see out there, I'm wondering if that's going to cause some division in the locker room. How long is this going to continue? And can Deshaun Watson bounce back? Because if you took the name out and you took the resume out and I just said, hey, Five Star, watch this film, you would tell me this is an NFL caliber quarterback, backup at best.
Deshaun Watson has one of the saddest stories we've ever seen in professional football. And it's as simple as that. Deshaun made a bad choice. You know, it's one of the, you know, I always talk about the 48 laws of power. One of them is be careful who you offend. And he offended the wrong person. And the person that he offended was a team owner and a franchise and GM who, like all franchises and GMs, have all of the information on you. You're their number one asset. You're an asset, man. So they know everything that you do around the clock, because most of the time they got security following you. A lot of people don't know that. I'm friends with a lot of guys who play in the NFL, NBA. They have security following these guys when they initially sign them until they understand and see that they can really, that they're just boring guys and don't do much. Then they'll chill. They won't send people to follow. But when they have money invested, especially in a black quarterback at that time, we know that Deshaun is from an area of the world where he's from outside of Georgia, in Gainesville, Georgia. He comes from the hood. You know, he around a lot of friends and stuff who went to different types of things, put it like that, like a lot of these athletes are. You can't change where you're from. You can't change who your friends were growing up. So with that, a lot of times these owners put detail on these guys to make sure that they're staying out of trouble, and they knew everything that Deshaun was doing. You know, one of the things that people don't understand about this whole story is that Cal McNair has known the attorney Bussey, who filed all the claims on Deshaun, since they were kids. They grew up living on the same street, like next door to each other. His dad knew him really well. So this was an inside hit, and it's only because Deshaun made a bad decision and took some bad advice from his, you know, his agent. And his agent is really good, you know, means well. He's called Athletes First. He gets money for all those guys. You know, kudos for your checks. But I think that Deshaun was one of those guys who wanted something bigger than a check. He wanted to be the face of the league. He wanted to be known as the good guy and doing right, and, you know, and being an example to kids. After he was embarrassed by this man, he has never been the same, because he really played for the passion and the love and wanted to shine. But then he allowed his agent to get him to think about the money, too. I knew that Deshaun was finished. It's kind of like the same moment I knew when VY was finished. We were at a party with Big Bang Hank, and he said something to me that I never forgot. And I knew he was going to have trouble in the NFL after that, because you can't come in with that type of mind state. Same with Deshaun Watson. When he did the paid in full tribute with his lawyer and gave him the BMW like he was money-making Mitch, I saw these dudes tripping. They think they drug dealers. You're an athlete, man. You're playing football. Like, what are you doing? You're an agent that's went to college to become a lawyer. You're not drug dealers. You're not Mitch and Ace, man. What are y'all doing? When they did that, he's been downhill since, man, because his mind state changed. Now David has him up thinking about money, and now he's thinking about money when his image is gone by him losing, you know, his reputation. He goes to Cleveland. Now it's just how big of a check I can get. They give him the first, you know, guaranteed contract. Every time I see Sean, he's dipped. He has on $10,000 outfits every time I see
him.
Him and his girl. We know he don't have any sponsors because they don't give him nothing anymore. Now, back in the game at Houston, they probably were giving him that stuff to wear. Now he's paying for that, man. He's Louis tripped Dior every time I see him from head to toe, bro. He's not missing anything. The accessories, everything. So it's kind of like he's on a villain arc. Like, he's changed now, man. He'll never find himself again, unfortunately. I think we've seen the best of Deshaun Watson at Clemson in his first years at Houston, unfortunately, man. And now he'll never get another contract. I don't know if he has the type of personality to become a backup, you know, on teams later on, kind of do the Flacco type of stuff and just kind of chill like Winston does and be on the team, because he's not really liked, because a lot of people are judging him about what they think he did. Now he has a new allegation just came out, you know. So somebody's really after him, you know, for what he did. And, you know, all I can say is enjoy your money, kid, because I think the best is football is over with.
So, you know, how long do you think they can continue to trot him out there? At what point do you think we see some Jameis Winston and Cleveland just admits that this was probably one of the biggest mistakes of all time that a football franchise made?
Just looking at the numbers of what Baker Mayfield did and then comparing them to the other numbers Deshaun doing right now, I'm in Cleveland, I'm like, damn, how Deshaun got all this money? I know he good and all, but again, it all goes back down to the mental. Deshaun just lost his biological father, you know, this past Friday. He lost a teammate, and he got to bring all this to the field. And you just got to think, like, damn, my season just starting, and all this bad stuff is happening to me right now. Like, when would it ever end? So, yeah, I just feel he in his head right now, man, and he's trying to, you know, spend a lot of the money. That's one thing, too, that I learned. I didn't want a lot of money gambling. I didn't blow a lot of money gambling. Money don't make you happy. it don't make you happy. And God showing that to him right now. And just like Five Star said, he's in all this nice drip and stuff like that. Big diamonds. His girl looks phenomenal. She has all this nice stuff. They drive nice cars, nice homes. They have nice pets. Everything is just nice. Nice vacations. Everything is top of the line. And like I said, he's still having personal issues and problems. And as long as, you know, he don't get it right in his head, Deshaun Watson will never, ever be the same. And it just seemed like the universe is just trying to show him some things. So Cleveland Browns definitely made a mistake. I don't think we see Deshaun perform, you know, well anytime soon. And he's not using none of this as an excuse. I mean, he even said that, you know, it's just him being a human and being a man. That mental is everything. And if that's not right, you definitely not going to have it right on the field with the other soldiers. You're not going to survive in that war zone.
All right, another ticket I was able to cash, but pretty close, was the Houston Texans taking on the Indianapolis Colts. That wasn't as much as a football play. It's just take the points at home in these division games. Indianapolis was able to cover, but really, at no point did I ever really think they were going to win when they missed the two-pointer at 15-13. I told my buddy, we're sitting on +3. I said, this is perfect for us. Because we're going to backdoor this, and that's exactly what happened. Anthony Richardson showed why people are so enamored with his potential. First, he makes two of the best throws that we've seen in so long. I mean, that one of them was just unbelievable. I couldn't believe he got it that far, and I was thinking the safety probably thinking this play's over. We're just out here doing cardio, and the ball ends up in the receiver's hands. And then the other impressive thing he does is the one that actually got the cover. It was about 4th and 2, 4th and 3. He got contacted about the 2-yard line, and he drove in. And a lot of plays, the way that was drawn up, I know people want to give Steichen credit, and I'm sure Steichen's a great coach, but that play was all Anthony Richardson, because the defensive coordinator for Texans drew that play up perfectly. You make contact about the 2.5, the 3-yard line, with your defensive scheme, and he still gets in there. That's just a tribute to Anthony Richardson's athleticism. At the same time, and we're going to talk about this more on Friday, I didn't downgrade Houston at all for that loss. I can't wait to see him absolutely smoke the Bears this weekend. And I'm already on the Texans, -7 next week. I didn't downgrade them at all. There's still everything that the contender that we thought that they would be. And Nico Collins is really going to continue to ascend to be a top wide receiver in this league. So Houston gets the win, Indy gets the cover, and both teams are essentially what we thought they were going into the game.
Well, you know, I gave out this game the first show and repeatedly gave it out and told everyone to take it while it was -120 money line. So anyone who followed and listened to old Five Star didn't lose, because I told you before the season even started, you know that spread, that my number one play of week one was Texans money line. Texas -120, -130, -1. So when it got to 3 on Sunday, if you caught that number, that's on you, man. Because I've been giving
you just it, had I'm to catch when it got to 3. I just felt like it was a play, and it really, we talk about that's why the money line is really so important, because Texas could have moved down and scored at the end of the game, but they didn't have a need to. That's why I said when they missed that 2-pointer, we're set, because they'll get the backdoor touchdown and then they're going to run the ball out. And if you had watched the game, you saw how efficient Mixon was. You already knew they were going to get 2 first downs. They were beating Indy off the line
easily.
They gave Mixon plenty of room. Yeah, and that's why the points are so much more valuable in the NFL than they are in the NBA. Because if it was the NBA, they would have kept scoring in favorite covers.
Let's go back. I got to give D'Amico Ryans, my favorite coach of, you know, my 1A and 1B team. You know, I'm a Saints fan. I'm a Texas fan. I got to give, you know, D'Amico Ryan kick the damn extra point award this week, because – 7-12.
That goes to my guy.
Man, he's 7-12 in the second quarter, and you chasing points. For what? Just kick the extra point. He didn't kick the extra point to make it 13-7 after the Diggs touchdown in the second quarter. Then we're going to go a little farther. Before halftime, what the hell are the refs doing? And D'Amico was so nice, he didn't make a big deal out of it in the press conference. They made the clock run off, man, so the Texans couldn't score before the halftime, in order to try to keep these points a certain way for the end of the game. Did no one see that? I'm the only one. I'm crazy, right? I'm the only one that saw.
That's the bad thing about being in the sportsbook five star, and I know that's why you watch so many games at home and you only in the books when your friend's there. You got so much simulation. I think you missed so many details of the game. I had 8 games going at once, moving my head all around. I actually missed that.
Yeah, no, I'm locked in. And what happened right before the halftime, because I watched 2 games, for sure everything else, I'm on the red zone and chiming in, but I locked in on the Saints game and the Texans game. I had both of those going on my TVs in my little man cave area, you know, upstairs. So I was locked in watching both of them. And right before the half, they ran the clock, didn't reset it, didn't tell anything to D'Amico. And by the time he noticed what they were doing, because they thought that the guy had, you know, the clock was dead. By the time he noticed, it was already the clock and ran out. And then the refs were like, well, it's over with halftime. They were supposed to get a free field goal right there. They were like on the 30 or something and ended up where the clock runs out. Another thing, Anthony Richardson is going to let a lot of you guys down who believe in him. He's a splash player, bro. He's a splash player. People are talking about that great throw that he made. Oh, what a great throw. How many times did he miss Adonai Mitchell? Adonai Mitchell supposed to have the biggest game for a first receiver in NFL history. He was open so many times on go routes and this guy overthrown him. Wide open. So people need to stop blowing smoke up this kid's butt. He's 9 out of 19, man. Come on. That's not – you can't win like that. So Anthony Richardson is going to need a lot more snaps. Like, everyone keeps acting like this guy's a superstar. He's not a superstar, man. He has superstar talent. And that's the same way he was at Florida. And it never came to fruition because he never got enough snaps. Let's see if he gets enough snaps and has the right coaching at Indianapolis to become the guy that everybody wants him to be. Because 9 out of 19 with an interception isn't good.
He missed a lot of open throws, and he's the type of guy that's going to make the highlight play, but he can't make the routine play. And to be a good NFL quarterback, you're going to have to make the routine play. So
that's right.
Sino, did you catch that one, and what did you think?
5-star, give Anthony Richardson some slack, please. The kid ain't played no more than 5-6 games in the NFL. Like,
he's got all the talent in the world. It's not his fault. It's how they're covering him. I'm not blaming him. You remember, I'm the one who was telling people about Anthony Richardson in Florida where nobody knew who he was.
You're right. And that's why I'm like he's still, you know, they still kind of fresh. But 5-star, you called me at halftime during that game, and you told me everything that you just said. You broke it all down to me. And I'm thinking to myself, I don't think they're going to cover. So I told you, I said, man, 5-star, let's just money line him. I don't give a damn. What is it?
Yeah.
Let's just find something else to parlay it with.
Yeah.
So, because you've been saying money line before. So I'm like, I'm definitely money lining the Texans. We know they're going to win. Might not cover. Take the money line. Let's put it with something else. Lord have mercy. We can get into the next game.
Get right to
it. It's perfect.
All right. Let's get right to it. This is another one that I felt happy about that I got right. And 5-star, you texted me, telling me you switched sides once you found out that quarterback switch was made. And the fan, I like Justin Fields a lot. I hope the Steelers keep winning so he keeps that job. But really the key to the game was, and I don't want to write off this Falcons offense yet, and we're going to talk about this a lot more next Monday night when that's the sole focus of our show, you know, with them being on Monday Night Football. But to take that much time off, you're coming off an injury, and we're going against arguably the best defense in the NFL and arguably the best player in the NFL in TJ Watt. I thought that was too much to ask, and I think that the fantasy they hype these guys up here because we got all these skill weapons. Bijan looks great, and Drake London can get open, and Kyle Pitts. But we're not looking at the trenches, and Pittsburgh completely controlled the trenches there. Hopefully Fields gets an opportunity. He's still got some of the same problems we talked about, even going back to Richardson. Seems like he's a read and tuck type of guy. But let's be honest, if that Steelers defense keeps playing like that, that's all they're going to need. They didn't even score a touchdown. What, 6 field goals? And they still got the win, but what Fields was important to do is 3rd and 3, 3rd and 5. The read ain't there, and he gets that first down. And he even follows his blockers well. I go, he actually might be a better runner than Bijan Robinson, the way he follows his blockers, and he lets those big guys up front do the work. I was excited to see Pittsburgh, and I hope Fields keeps that job a lot longer because even as an NFL fan, he's a lot more fun to watch than Russ. What did you think of Atlanta, and how do we deal with them going forward? I think it could be a slow start for this team as they try and get Cousins back. And I almost want to see Penix out there with how immobile Cousins was.
Please. 5-star, we talked about that also, just exactly what Spread was saying. Man, Kirk Cousins just wanted that check. I told y'all he coming off injury. He seen the opportunity. He took it. Crunch moments. I'm like, what the hell is this guy doing? Get Penix up out there. And the Atlanta Falcons, they such a great team at home, man. And for him to start the season like that, it kind of pissed me off. And 5-star, in that division, why we just didn't take the Saints? Like, I'm like, we didn't even talk about the Saints game on the last show. And for them to
but we bet them
and just come out and powerhouse it the way they did, I'm like, oh my God, like, it's nuts. But I'm with you, Spread. Penix should be out there. The days of Kirk Cousins are over with. He should have left that up with the Vikings.
What I noticed about this game is, you know, we always talk about this, Spread. This one of you and our favorite sayings, when Marvin Hagler said it's hard to train when you're sleeping on silk sheets. Remember that?
Mm-hmm.
So yeah. Look at Kirk Cousins. He's got a perfect life, man. He got a great wife. She's religious like him. She's not cheating on him. She's not giving him any problems. He got beautiful kids. They're getting older now, and I'm sure he's playing out in the backyard with the boys. He's kind of in the stage of his life that I'm in right now. You think I want to get up in the morning and go train for some football? I'll go train for myself, do like 30 minutes jogging and a couple minutes. You think you want to be out there 8 hours watching film? Kirk Cousins, one of these guys, was already fitted. Like, man, I already made it. Think about it. He was drafted in the fourth round. He wasn't even supposed to be a starter. And look how many max checks this kid has got. He's gotten so much money. He's through, man. He's ready to lay it down. And he's such a nice guy. He's going to support Michael Penix the whole way through. You know, he's going to, you know, be there, help him any type of way he can. I don't think he wants any more punishment. That's how he looked out there, man. He looked
the
like
one
he
thing did. Atlanta might be able to do is if someone else gets a quarterback problem, like let's just say Love was out for the year, they might be able to get a couple draft picks for him.
He's not going to get out of that contract. He's not going.
You don't think so?
He's not going. He's about to sit in Atlanta, raise his kids out there in a nice little suburb in the area, live off those checks, take a pay cut in the offseason when Penix becomes a starter so he doesn't have to get cut, and get the rest of the money that they owe him that's guaranteed, and then drop his check down to probably $5 million or so a year as a backup and just relax. And he'll say, you guys got one of the better backups in the league, and I'm going to just kind of like guide Michael and help him. I've already been in camp. I know you guys' system and what you want to run. That's all I see them doing. But Atlanta looked really weak. That's one thing. Raheem Morris, man, you better get those guys in the trenches. I didn't like how they looked in the trenches at all. They looked like little boys out there with the Steelers.
See how much of that is just Pittsburgh being really good. So that's why I'm really looking forward to talking about the game next weekend.
Remember, we factored in, and I told you, Spread, that's why I texted and said, oh, man, Fields is playing. My cap was made on Russell Wilson being the quarterback. Because if Russell Wilson was
the quarterback, too. He needs to go hang out with his cool wife, too.
Hey, look at his wife. And they just had another kid. He keeps getting her pregnant. You seen her dance before? You would, too. He over there having a ball. You know what I'm saying? Like, can't believe he's stumbled into this lifestyle. So, Russell Wilson, the man, and she's the type of woman who's going to do anything for him, make him feel good, take him shopping, and she's a boss herself. So, man, Russell Wilson's another one. And I think Tomlin's smart enough to know that. That's one thing, like you said, as a Tomlin truther, I apologize, Spread, because you know we're usually together on Mike Tomlin. We both love him. So I forgot how smart Mike Tomlin is. He's not going to let these clowns get him a losing season. He's not allowing that to happen. He's not going to let them put that on his record, because that's going to be the one thing that separates him when it's time to go to the Hall of Fame from the other guys that he's lumped with, Sean Payton and Bill Belichick, right? I never had a losing season before.
Never.
So he's not going to start. Now, he wanted Justin Fields as the starting quarterback, but he didn't want to destroy his relationship.
He didn't want to give him the job. He wanted him to earn it.
He wanted him to earn it, and he didn't want to also mess up Russell Wilson, because Russell Wilson is like the man of the year for the team, the captain and all that, and he's that type of statesman. So he didn't want to, you know, step on his toes either. So he came up with this little injury for him, and I'm sure they've worked that out. But Justin Fields is perfect for this team, and I knew he was when they got him last year. When you have the type of defense, as long as T.J. Watt can stay healthy, that's the key. Fitzpatrick can stay healthy. That's the key. What's my guy name that plays down low for them? It's also equals wins from Cam Hayward, Ironhead Hayward's son. Cam Hayward. As long as those three dudes are out there playing, their defense is not giving up three touchdowns for the whole game, bro. You can put it up, you can mark it, do whatever. Because now they got corners over there. And that's what they were missing for years. They always had the rush. They always had, you know, the defensive line to stop the run. They didn't have playmakers on the back end, and now they do. And these dudes can ball, and we know that Mike Tomlin knows what he's doing on that side of the ball. Justin Fields is perfect, because Justin Fields only has to be, just consistent. All he has to do is complete a couple passes, make some plays with his feet, give us 20 points, we win. So I like that combination. I think the Steelers are going to shock some people this year.
So I'm pulling an audible here. We're pulling a kick the damn extra point right now.
Okay, cool.
I know you're upset with D'Amico, but my coach let me down a lot more. Your favorite coach, D'Amico. My favorite coach is Antonio Pierce. First, it's fourth and one on the 10-yard line. They needed to go for it there. They kick it. Okay, that's fine. That's three free points. I'll give you that. But to punt on fourth and one on your own 43 with 7 minutes to go, it was just absolutely terrible. I was so upset. Great call there. We went opposite there. You got me on that one. The Raiders cannot even get the cover. I thought they were going to keep it close, and I felt like it was taking a home dog because you saw that stadium. They wearing all black. Pierce getting them going when the Chargers got a big down. It felt like a home game for the Raiders. I'm thinking I'm catching plus three at home just like I did with Indy. Did not work out for me. Talk to me about Antonio Pierce and how does the team come back from that, man? Because they got to be in the locker room kind of disappointed as well that he made that call.
Antonio Pierce will be just fine. They're playing a long game. They're trying to lose game spread. You know that. The plan is to get their quarterback. They need their quarterback. It's not going to be Gardner Minshew. So I think they told Devontae, please just suck with us one more year. I know you enjoy living in Vegas. Like, it's beautiful out here. The weather's great. Your kids are in great schools. Just enjoy it. Give us one more year, and we promise you we're going to get you a quarterback next year. That's what they're on. The Raiders trying to have them. They're trying to be one of those teams that – they played really good and were in every game, but they lost like 10 games. You know what I mean? Lost like 11 games. That's a good try. He didn't want to win that game. And that's why I took Harbaugh. It meant a lot more to the Chargers. Harbaugh needed those guys to get some, you know, confidence going his first game. Now, what I really liked is what I told you, the trenches. We've seen this everywhere that Harbaugh has went. They're going to run the ball. If J.K. Dobbins is going to look like that, he still doesn't have his complete burst because he got walked down a couple times. We should have scored touchdowns on long runs. So he still doesn't have that knee back all the way correct, but he still has that quickness, man, and that power, that vision. And you know, J.K. Dobbins is one of my favorite running backs to come out of Ohio State, and that's a lot to say because they've had some dogs, and he's great, man. And he ran the ball so well behind that line, man. The Chargers line is going to lean on some people. We know how Harbaugh coaches. If he can get Justin Herbert's confidence up, I know Herbert's kind of hurt. Did you see he was like before the game, he was all on him and like pushing him, getting him all wired up and hitting him on the back of his name. Like, it's about you, baby. It's about you. If he gets his confidence going, watch the Chargers, because when you can control the line of scrimmage on both sides of the ball like they can, you're going to be in a lot of games.
Sino, did you catch that game or what did you think of the Chargers win?
I caught that game in the second half and I live betted them. I was still on the phone with Five Star. I'm like, bro, the Chargers going to win this game. I actually got him at even money. I was just playing some lines in that game, to be honest, and everything went my way. I didn't even know he did that fourth and one punt. That's some crazy stuff. I could be a coach in the NFL these days.
All you got to do is not play Madden. And you
That's it. That's it. And guess what? Even on fourth and one on Madden, in that situation, I ain't punting.
Come on, man. If you put on Madden and make a bad decision, they're going to make it get blocked or something. Madden,
right?
You know the rules of Madden, man. You got to coach right. Let's get into the presence, Brad.
Yeah, thank you for indulging me there. I just had to get that out because I was pretty disappointed that he made that call. Tomorrow night, the Buffalo Bills will head down to Miami.
Whoa.
I hate these short week games. I think it gives the home team a huge advantage here because while Buffalo's going to be traveling, Miami got another day to rest and implement some more schemes, and they get an extra day of practice. So you guys already know my thoughts about the short weeks for the Thursday night football, but regardless, they're going to play the game. It's going to be on the schedule, and thank God it's being held in the United States of America. Five Star, I like the Miami Dolphins here. I've already put it out. If you follow me on X, you've seen why I wrote about it. I am bucking a trend, though, because Josh Allen is 10-2 straight up against the Dolphins in his career. Sean McDermott is 8-5-1 against the spread against the Dolphins in his career. And Tua Tagovailoa is 1-7 against the Buffalo Bills. But here's why I think it's different this year. I don't think that Buffalo Bills defense is anywhere near where it was. We saw Arizona be able to put up some points, and I think that if they had a little more chemistry there with the new players, the new coordinators, they could have got that win. You can see they kind of ran out of tricks there towards the end, and kind of pissed. I took Marvin Harrison in one of my fantasy leagues. He didn't get much work, and he was double covered the whole game. So at least they did that right, Buffalo team. But watch that Tyreek Hill play, the one that turned the game. There's no other player in football that makes that play. Any other time, that's just a big 30, 40-yard game, and he gets knocked out. There's no other player that can do that. Jalen Waddle's looking good. Even if Mahostert's going to be out, but even if A-Chain misses, I'm just fine. They're just going to be Jalen Wright season. He got almost the same measurables as A-Chain. I also like Miami's offensive scheme better. I feel that even though they're that explosive offense that can push the ball down the field with Tyreek and Waddle, they don't let it become their whole identity, and they do plenty of running the ball. And we saw that Buffalo had problems stopping the run, and that was against James Conner, who's just one of those wins against replacement guys. He is the replacement. He hits the hole and he falls forward, but now you're going to get more burst, and I wouldn't be surprised to see McDaniel use a little bit of the wide receivers there too. I think it's going to just be too much offense for Miami, and I think that Tua and the rest of this team get that monkey off the back, defeating their rivals. I know I'm going against some trends here, but I'm taking the Miami Dolphins. I laid 1.5, but I think you're still good at 2 or 2.5, whatever it's at right now. Where are you at on this one, Five Star?
I'm definitely with you. I'll be on the Dolphins. I'll put it in probably today for money line and probably like -140 or something like that, just so I don't have to deal with those pesky points. Just a bad storm right now for Buffalo. You got two new starting cornerbacks over there. Still dealing with the same problems on defense with their penalties. They had 9 penalties for 65 yards as a team. Too many penalties. We know that's always on the Sean McDermott. He doesn't have his linebacker, Milano, who was like his quarterback on the field. Coming on a Thursday night, a short week. Very Josh Allen dependent, because we see we can't trust the young receivers yet. Josh Allen is a baller, though. I saw some stat that they said that I want to say the last 2 seasons, the Bills never lost a game by less than 1 possession. So they're in every game. So he's a baller. You know how I feel about Josh Allen. He's hungry. He doesn't ever want to, you know, be overlooked again, because he did a lot to get to where he's at now, from writing JUCO coaches, begging him for a look, to, you know, have him be a little Wyoming and come out of that and become who he is today. So we know we're going to get a good effort from Josh Allen. He's one of the best quarterbacks in the league, but it's not going to be enough. Miami has a really good defense this year. They're back healthy. A lot of big names on that defense, a lot of real ballers on that defense, man. And you saw that last weekend, the way that they were able to shut down Jacksonville. Jacksonville has one of the better quarterbacks in the league, one of the better offensive minds in their head coach, and they were still held to 17 points from their Miami defense. They also held Jacksonville to some really bad plays near the end of that game. When it mattered most, they were able to, you know, turn them over and get some stops. So I think that the Miami defense comes to play. I think all of the attention on the Tyreek Hill situation makes it where he's more motivated, you know, to play harder and to show up and to shine. And I also think that Buffalo will have Miami's full attention. Whereas in Buffalo, they're used to beating them, so they might come in a little cocky, you know, with this today, our little brothers, we always beat them, as you said, the kind of record McDermott has had against them. I think that Miami gets loose this game and gets some revenge for all those years losing to Buffalo, and they pull this one out.
I mean, so, you know, we downgraded that Miami defense in the offseason, losing Vic Fangio and, of course, important players like Christian Wilkins. But it kind of went under the radar that they held Trevor and the Jaguars scoreless in the second half to get that win. And I think that's a pretty good offense there. And we're going to talk more about the Jaguars on our Friday show as we look ahead to Sunday's game. But what are your thoughts here on the Miami and Dolphins versus Buffalo Bills?
In the last 5 matchups, Buffalo took down Miami 4 at a time. So I'm like 5-star. That's where I'm a point like towards the end. He made a lot of great points. That Miami team right now with that Tyreek situation, they balled up. And we about to go back into Miami and play again. And everybody finally has seen the video footage and stuff like that. The fans, everybody's going to be riled up. I just think Miami should not be a favorite, and this should be a pick 'em, since that's many times Buffalo beat up on them. And in this situation, I'm like 5-star. We have leans. We, you know, that's part of the show. We have leans and we have official plays. So we're going to have to start just, you know, clarifying what's a lean and what's an official play. But right here, I am definitely playing Miami money line. That primetime game at home, in this situation, they're fired up. Tyreek Hill, couple of touchdowns. Tua, I think he shows off. Miami money line. I'm with you guys on this one. We all on the same set.
All right, talk to me about some college football. They're playing on Friday night. The first one I want to break down, you know, your home college there in Las Vegas, UNLV, doing a little better than expected. They're taking on a tough Kansas team here. Kansas has been doing pretty well this year. I believe they're still in the top 25 in the rankings, right? So one of the better times for Kansas football, not just a basketball school anymore. What are your thoughts here when the Running Rebels take on the Kansas Jayhawks?
The Running Rebels are a better team than people think they are. They have some real weapons and some NFL-type talent, especially Ricky White, their receiver over there. I just think that 7 points is just too many points to give the Rebels on the road. I know Kansas is coming off of his first loss. He lost to Illinois late. But I don't think that Kansas's offense is as explosive as it has been in the past, just simply because now you got a quarterback change. You remember Jaden Daniels was their quarterback last year. He got hurt. After Jalen Daniels got hurt, they brought in Jason Bean. Jason Bean makes it where they can kind of throw down the field and use their receivers. Jalen Daniels is a good quarterback, but not as accurate with the deep ball as Bean was. So that's one thing. He had 3 interceptions last week. Okay, they do have a really good running back still in Devin Neal. Devin Neal is a really good back. But UNLV has shown that it can stop the run. As you know, their coach at UNLV is strictly defensive guy. He's been a defensive coordinator at a lot of big places, a lot of big stops, and he's always had solid defenses. And now he has a solid defense again with UNLV. Rebels are just playing with a lot of confidence, man. And this is one of those games where I expect them to come in caring a little bit more about their opponent than Kansas is. I'm sure Kansas, because think about UNLV, no one's taking them serious. Like, I'm sure University of Houston didn't. As you saw, University of Houston wasn't as bad as a team as we thought they were when they played UNLV, as they go up to Oklahoma and almost pull out the outright upset. So UNLV is tough, man. If they can get the quarterback figured out, Sluka isn't consistent passing, but he does hit the deep ball really well. So if he can continue to hit, Ricky White, who's going to be open, and then they got a guy over there, DeJesus. He's a problem. Jacob DeJesus, 5'7", 175, lightning in the ball, a quick guy to get you out of space. He can run the ball. He can catch it. I just think that UNLV's offense and their defense as a whole is just going to be enough to stay in this game and maybe pull out the outright, the money line. So this will be an official play for me. I will be taking UNLV +7. I'll buy half a point and take it up to 7.5. Or maybe 8. I'll wait and see. How's the market going right now, guys? Anybody got an eye on the market with this one?
I'll look that up real quick while you break this down for me, Sino.
Yeah, while you look that up, Spread, I'm like 5-star. I think Matt Sluka, he's the key to this, the Holy Cross transfer. He ain't showed much of his arm, but he showed that on the ground he can move. He could, you know, use them wheels. I think last game he ran the ball like 20 times or something. That was nuts for like 129 yards as a quarterback. Coming into the next game, they're playing on a neutral site, right?
No, they're playing in Lawrence.
Yeah, so 7 points. I don't know. I ain't seen much from that quarterback for UNLV, man. He got to step up for me to see something. So I just stay away from this game. I don't have too much input on it.
You got to bet Barry Odoms, man. And now I just checked the market. It's looking lovely for a spread. Everybody's on Kansas. We're on UNLV, man. I like
UNLV. I was just about to say that. I think that you know, I want to buy that now. You might end up
having to. It might go up to 7.5.
I think you're going to naturally. Right now I'm seeing, and this is, I'm trying to see what book I got this on. I think this is BetMGM, but they got 82% of the money on Kansas and 87% of the tickets. So unless they really want to take a stand on UNLV, which sometimes they do. Sometimes they think UNLV is the right side and they won't move the line.
Star, they're playing at Children's Mercy Park.
Where they're playing at?
They're playing at a soccer stadium, Children's Mercy Park.
Oh, so it's a neutral game?
It's in Kansas. It's in Kansas,
but it's not at the stadium.
At their stadium. Yeah, okay. That's, I figure that's what. So 7.5, I might have to ride with you on that.
No, man, we on the Rebels, man. The Rebels. Yeah,
that's why.
You know, it's a certain type of confidence and you see in the type of speed and strength that teams are playing with, that you could tell they're all on the same page, they're all playing good, they're all playing well, they're all believing each other. And that's what I get from UNLV, man. 72-14 last week, dominant performance at Houston. And as I said, Houston showed us at Oklahoma that they're not as bad of a team as UNLV made them look. So Barry Odom knows how to call some defense, man. Jalen Daniels better be careful that he doesn't get 2 back-to-back losses, man. So take the running Rebels. That is an official play for me. Take UNLV +7.
All right. The next game that we have on Friday night. Let me pull this up real quick. Sorry, I was still trying to look up what book I got the statistics from. Arizona +7, and they're taking on K-State. Wow, Kansas becoming a football powerhouse all of a sudden here. What do you think of Arizona catching points here between two ranked teams?
You know, at first I was bent on the fighting fishes. That was when Jed Fish was the coach. Now they're the battling Brennans, because now Brent Brennan is the coach, and they don't have much fall off in coaching because Brent Brennan was really good at San Jose State. San Jose State has been horrible for years in football, and he was the first coach to make them viable. Arizona's 9-1 in their last 10 games against the spread, as Noah Fifita has been their quarterback, and Teatro McMillan is their wide receiver. I don't think nothing changes. They had a poor performance last week. They only scored 22 points in Northern Arizona, and I'm glad, because I feel like they were looking forward to this nationally televised game, and they weren't really paying attention to Northern Arizona. I think we'll see a lights-out performance from Noah Fifita. He's going to be drafted to the NFL. He's short, but this kid can really play. He's a real baller. Like I said, a really slow game last week. He didn't really even try that much because, like I said, they're playing Northern Arizona. I think Teatro McMillan only had two balls in that game, but things are going to change this week when they play Kansas State. Don't get me wrong, Kansas State can score the ball as well. I'll probably be looking for the team total over on Arizona. The total for the game as well, I think, will go over. Because I think Kansas State can put some points on Arizona as well. But I'll definitely be playing. My official play will be Arizona plus 7 and Arizona's team total. I believe it's 23.5. I like the over on that.
Tino, your thoughts on this game?
I don't know. Avery Johnson, he did what was necessary for the win against Tulane last week, but his ability to pass the ball effectively, you know, that's still in question and stuff like that. And I'm going out here on the road against this team right here. It has to be an over bet. I think they put the ball over. I mean, up in the air a little bit more. Defense to step in, you know, a couple of turnovers and stuff like that. They go back and forth. High power game. What is that? 57.5 or something like that?
59.5.
Oh, damn, it went up. Yeah, 59.5. Yeah, I thought it was at 57.5 still. So I think anywhere between 60.
Yeah, I haven't even seen a high as 60.
Yeah, see, so I think 60.5 should definitely be the highest, a good play.
I'm official play for me, Arizona plus 7.5 minus 120. I'm putting it in right now as we speak. And this is what I will be going against, going with the public and fading the books, man. I just think that's way too big a number for how potent that Arizona offense is. And I've seen none from K-State's defense to make me think that they're going to slow down the Wildcats.
Yeah, well, if you want that one, get it now, because with the way these money splits are looking, I think I got about the same percentages as you. Maybe it could be down to simply plus 7. All right, let's move into the ball and parlay pick.
All right, shoot us, Brett.
I already told you guys, I'm on the Miami Dolphins tomorrow night. I like them at home in primetime, and I really like the way I think that their offense at this point of the season, they already fully integrated. They've been running the system for a while. It still feels like Buffalo's working in some new players, namely Keon Coleman and Curtis Samuel. So I'm going to take the team that's firing on all cylinders at home. And I think this is a great chance for Miami to make a statement and say, hey, we're here in the AFC East. This just isn't your division to run away with. You guys aren't the Kansas City Chiefs. You ain't going to win 8 years in a row. We live and we're the Dolphins. I'm taking the Miami Dolphins. Right now, if I were you, Gabe, just jump on the money line. I got it at 1.5. Maybe there'll be some buyback, but I do not think so. I think people are going to be with us on Miami. And I think the line is about right, because at 2.5, you're basically saying that these teams are even, which seems correct to me. So don't know if I'll see any movement. You know, if you hit that article earlier and you got the 1.5, great. Otherwise, just money line it up, play it safe. You know, who do you got for me?
Oh, man, we're going to stay in that game spread. I love the Miami Dolphins money line, of course, in that. But 49, that's a little total for me. We're going to go under again tonight on that. That's going to be my official play, the ball and parlay. Miami on his third defensive coordinator this year. I think they definitely need to step up. Everybody think it's going to be, you know, back and forth. These games are always close, like Five Star said. Josh Allen, one possession games. It's going to be tight. I think it might be 2-3-point games, some of that nature. We're on under 49 with this one. That's my official play.
All right, Five Star, your official play.
UNLV running Rebels. I think that Matthew Sluka does just enough for them to keep them in the game. A couple big shots to Ricky White. As we saw last week, Kansas is good. You know how I feel about their coach, Lance Leipold. I think he's a really good coach. But I also think Barry Odom's a really good coach for UNLV. And I think the 7, probably get 7.5. You can buy the half a point. get it. I would like to take it up to 8 because this is a game that could very well go to overtime. And if it does, you want those 8 points in your back pocket. So try to wait and see if you can get it to 7.5 by 0.5. That way you'll get +8 minus 120. But me personally, you know how I bet. I'm taking the money line. But once again, guys, remember, when I give out one of these games, you take the points. If you choose to do the money line, that's on you. The way that I bet, I have a bigger bankroll than you because I've been doing this for over 20 years. So we can take some chances and some opportunities because of the value that we see in these games. You, if you're trying to be just build your bankroll up, take the points and take, you know, with UNLV. Me, I'll be playing the money line on this one. I think that the running Rebels go 3-0, and I think that they go shock the world in Kansas. All right, guys, we appreciate you for tuning in. We went a little bit long today, about 15 minutes over our usual time, but it's okay. Got in some really good information for you guys. Hit that like button. Once again, we take time out of our day to do this for you guys. When you come into the show, you watch the show, use some of our information, it's free to get a like. If you can't give us a like, man, you a hater. You want to be a hater? We don't want any haters in the wager world. So if you're watching the show, all we do is ask that you hit the like button. I saw a couple people said that they subscribe, but I've not gotten the DMs from you. If you put the I subscribed, I have no way to get you the plays if you don't DM me, you know, the screenshot so that I can respond with it. So either DM myself, DM Spreader Stare, DM Cino Royale. Got anything for the people, Cino, before we get out of here?
Oh, nah, man. I just appreciate everybody, you know, that watching, follow the wager world. Let's get back on track, get some positive winners. Again, we're doing this season right here for my man Kingston, and we go from here.
All right, what you got for the people, Spread?
If you play some DFS, put Tyreek Hill on captain for that showdown tomorrow night.
Most definitely.
There you go, with some DFS for my guy Spread Astaire. As always, the show is dedicated to the greatest Houston sports fan I know. I know he'd be so proud of what our teams are doing this year, and that's my father, John H. Lindsay. I do this for you, Dad. It's us versus the machine. And when we say that, we mean it from the heart. This is the waging world.